This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So after last week's live curtain catastrophe, I decided to move somewhere a bit more peaceful, I thought. I don't know. What can we do? What can I do, hey? I was hoping this might be a bit quieter, safer, and let's plow on. Let's see how we can go. This is a place where we eat, and I want to talk a little bit about eating today. Oh, here we go. Very good. Thank you very much. Tea cake. It's my 11s.
So thank you.
Yes. It's all gone quiet, peaceful. We should be okay now. Now, we're in difficult times at the moment, despite a bit of fun. We're in difficult times at the moment. There's lots of miserable news in the air, isn't there? And there's good news as well, but it's difficult. And some of you have lost people and have struggled with things, with jobs and all that. And so I want to recognize that. But I want us to think for this next few moments about something really, really hopeful and positive. And looking forward to the time when there are going to be better days and when we can eat and drink together again. That's what I want to talk about. Let's just, if you'd like to find Matthew 12 in your Bibles, I'm going to put it up on the screen. Well, I'm not. Alex is going to put it up on the screen in a moment. Matthew 12, 46 to 50. So Jesus is in a conversation with people. He's sitting in somebody's house and there's all sorts of stuff going on outside. And it says this. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, this is Matthew 12, verse 46. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. And someone told him, "Your mothers and brothers are standing outside and wanting to speak to you." And he replied to them, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mothers, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." This is God's word to us, and it's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Now, in the past, and one day in the future, we used to spend, and we will spend, important moments with people around the meal table. For families, eating food together is a central focus, and it should be a mealtime. For those in other households, eating together is also going to be important. It's much harder for those who are single, living on their own, especially right now, of course. Excuse me. Very nice. Other things make eating together difficult, not just the global pandemic. There'll be things like different dietary requirements. So, you know, vegetarian versus carnivores and all that, and things that you prefer to eat, and it makes it a bit difficult sometimes to eat with other people, or maybe we're happy with the things that we eat, but we're just too busy to be able to make arrangements. Busyness gets in the way. Or when you're actually sitting around the table eating, social media gets in the way and we start attending to that rather than to people with us. I think this is really important and we need to fight for it, fight for this this occasion. And the reason is because I want to say that eating food together, even when you're on your own actually, can be a sacramental moment. Eating food together or on your own can be a sacramental moment. By that I mean a moment of mystery in which God reveals a little of himself. Now, we may not sense that all the time. You know, if you're about to grab a vegan roll from Greg's as you run to an appointment, or if you've got little Johnny there and you're trying to convince him that the carrot is the train and his mouth is the tunnel, and it's all, if you've got a one-year-old, if you've ever had a one-year-old, you know that little transaction. But there's something about stopping for a moment to relish the food we eat, especially where we can eat together with others and talking and sharing. There's something about that moment. It's more than simply sustenance. It's more than even the taste of the food. I can't often remember what I ate a week ago, but I can nearly always remember who I ate it with. So it's right just before we eat and I should have done it just then, to take a moment and to acknowledge that the Lord has provided for us and to appreciate the cook and to say thank you, to say grace. It's a good thing to do. And there are other times when meals are more than just the food. I mean, you know, you can think of examples, picnics outdoors and barbecues and camping and celebrations like weddings and anniversary, even funerals, those types of occasions where there's food, that there's something beyond the actual food itself about the occasion that's important. Two of our good friends at Leeds Vineyard, Tom and Tanya, you know, many of you will know them. Tanya comes from a Jewish heritage, and very often they welcome people to their house on a Friday night for their what they call Shabbat. It's the Jewish tradition that inaugurates the Sabbath day the next, well, it starts in the Friday evening and goes into the Sabbath. And I was asking her about what the tradition is behind this, and it's she says it's absolutely central to the Jewish way of life, to their faith, to festivals, and to include that Friday evening meal as a sort of family togetherness thing. They think about the biblical banquets, and they she says, we love our food, she says, and we love to serve it, to eat fine food, and have others enjoy the abundance from God's provision. She reminds me that traditionally and biblically, the Jews are commanded to share with the poor and needy and the lonely and the foreigner. And of course, although this is a commandment to families, it involves single people as well. And that Friday evening meal links closely with the Passover and the Lord's Supper, what we call the Lord's Supper or the communion, which is what we're going to have afterwards for those of you who want to join us for that on Zoom. So, I think that Jesus makes eating food sacramental. Our theme at the moment is to do what Jesus does. And I think one of the things he does is to make eating food sacramental. How does this happen? Well, it's interesting. If you think about his ministry, he starts by not eating food. He starts by denying himself food and companionship for 40 days. He goes off into the desert for a 40-day fast. I imagine that subsequent to that, he would have eaten on his own from time to time, but it does seem that he rarely turns down an invitation for a meal. He was often sharing food with others, and sacramental things happened when he did. If you think about it, just think of some of the stories. The first major one in John's Gospel is the wedding at Cana. It's a wedding. That's a mystery. That's a sacramental moment. And it finishes the story by saying this is the first time he revealed his glory. The revelation of God comes in those sacramental moments. How about the feeding of the 5,000, turning two fish and five loaves into a mass catering event? There you go, that's a miracle. Or at Zacchaeus, there's a moment of salvation. He says, I'm coming to your house. And then he says, salvation has come to your house today. The kingdom of God is revealed in whenever he meets with the tax collectors and sinners on one hand, or the Pharisees and religious leaders on the other, stuff happens. People are healed and truth is spoken, sacramental events. He often hangs out with Martha and Mary, his friends, and there's a couple of accounts of meals with them, both of which significant things happen, particularly the one where Mary pours the perfume on him. Such a powerful event. Then, of course, we have the Last Supper, the Passover, on the Thursday of the evening of the Easter weekend, when Jesus was celebrating the sacrifice, the Passover meal, of which he was about to become the sacrifice. And then after the resurrection, he breaks bread with the disciples at Emmaus and reveals himself in that moment. And then he meets with the disciples at Galilee. It says, for the third time he appeared to them, and he makes some breakfast on the beach. And again, there's that incredible encounter, particularly with Peter. So do you see what I mean? I think Jesus makes eating food sacramental, and he presents us with a challenge there, because he shows us a lifestyle of eating which is open. And what I mean by that is that he ate with all sorts of different people during his ministry. He was young, a young single man, an amazing young single man, albeit, with lots of friends and followers, and seemed to sit down for lunch with people indiscriminately. So if we're going to learn to do what Jesus does, meals will arise, become sacramental moments that we just eat with people in a sort of open, sort of a spontaneous way, waiting for God to do stuff in those moments. It won't necessarily always result in a, you know, expanding food volumes to miraculously or coincide with immense revelation, or even particularly necessarily bring glory to God in an overt way. But there will always be potential kingdom moments, times to share wisdom and witness, times for comfort and companionship, times for relationship and nourishment. Now, I know many of you do this already. You proactively eat meals with lots of people, other people. But I also know that for many, this is not easy for all sorts of reasons. There's difficulties around this, not just during times of COVID. Often it's a matter of resource. You know, there's simply, we're fortunate here. We've got a kitchen where we can accommodate people around the table, but some of you don't have that, or you don't have enough food in the fridge. I recognize that's a challenge for many people. Or for others, you've got food in the fridge and you've got space, but your diary doesn't really give you time to hang out with other people. For some of you, you don't have the confidence to be a host, or indeed the confidence to be a guest. We need to attend to these things and work through them, help one another to be able to eat food with other people. Another thing is our culture doesn't find it easy to be spontaneous like this. You know, we even these days send a text before we ring somebody to check that we're not interrupting them. And just Barbie was telling me the other day how she had to learn not just to turn up on somebody's doorstep. She comes from Africa, and she was saying, don't just turn up on somebody's doorstep in England without giving them one prior warning. It's a cultural thing for us. It's difficult. And I understand that. And this is not meant to be a guilt trip. As we reach out, when we do reach out, we tend to reach people we like and know, you know, have dinner with our friends. And Jesus doesn't do that. He reaches out to people he doesn't know and don't agree with him, moreover. And I don't want to put a guilt trip on anybody or judge anybody for this. But I think it's a concept and a challenge worth grappling with as a church family. Here's one of the keys to unlock this, I think. We started with this verse, and I want to finish with this verse and just unpack it a bit. That unlocks some of the potential for meals together and experiencing some of those sacramental moments with the church family. And it's the way Jesus reframes food and family. Let's just go back to that reference in Matthew chapter 12. So picture the scene. It's Palestine, hot weather. The houses would have windows in, and the doorways would be open. And so often somebody coming to have a meal with somebody would be an event, and they would sit around the table. And I think this was probably happening here. It doesn't actually say it, but it's the sort of thing that would have happened. And people would lean in the windows and comment on what was being said and throw in their contribution. And people would be pushing through the doorways. And and sometimes people even coming through the roof, as we know about that story. So while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, it says, so he was in with the Pharisees and leaders, was the description at the time. But he was opened the conversation out to the other people who were looking in the window and looking in the doorway. It says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. And someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. Remember what Tanya said about the high value of family and being together. And he replied, bombshell moment, he replied, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And pointing to his disciples around the room, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. What an awesome thing. Note that there's women in there. So we think of the disciples as the 12 men, but actually the discipleship group included a lot of women. And he redefines the family as the people who obey him and follow him, which has been our theme for the year, follow me. This is a, 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 a really very critical point. And he reframes, Jesus reframes family and food by reframing family from blood to discipleship, to follow me, to obey. So family isn't just our nuclear family. It's those who follow Jesus and obey him in our church family. It realigns everything when we understand that. I have to be honest and say that I'm influenced in my thinking by my own upbringing, of course, because my parents were big on this. I'm the eldest of seven, and I was the eldest of five and two parents, so there were seven of us. But actually, around our dinner table, there were rarely less than, I don't know, fewer than seven or eight or more people. Friends, and lodgers, and church friends, students, foreigners passing through, potential future wives. Now, I know this is pretty much impossible under the coronavirus stuff. And the best we can do is, at the moment, is probably sharing our food by giving it away, go to give help, get help. But thinking of a time beyond the pandemic, let's just cast our mind forward for this wonderful time that's coming, weeks, months, I don't know how long ahead, when we can eat with other people easily. And let's look beyond our usual eating habits and think about it differently, doing what Jesus does, allocating time and space to mealtimes with others. Not just families inviting single people, but single people inviting families. People like us and people not like us. People we like and agree with, and people maybe we don't like so much and don't agree with. Not just the ones with kitchens and big houses, inviting those without. But those of us with a big kitchen, going to people's houses who haven't got one. For some, that means sharing your family with other people, and there's the risk that entails in all that. And for some, it means sharing your peace and your privacy with others, and all the uncomfortableness that that entails. Oh, so much to say. Let me wrap up, though. I need to draw to a conclusion. We're running late. My challenge to you is to do as Jesus does, which is to make eating food sacramental. And it starts with the meals with ourselves, whether we're single on our own or whether with our families, and thinking about how we do our meals and recognizing God in them. And then it goes beyond that to thinking about those in our church family, other followers of Jesus, and understanding that they are real family too, our brothers and our sisters. And then it goes to thinking, stretching our boundaries, going beyond our immediate family and our church family, and welcoming the stranger. Making mealtimes occasions when we share wisdom and witness, where we experience comfort and companionship, where we build relationship and enjoy nourishment. Let us do what Jesus does and eat meals with other people.